Chapter 16. After dinner, all the gang turned out to hunt for turtle eggs on the bar. They went about poking sticks into the sand, and when they found a soft place, they went down on their knees and dug with their hands. Sometimes it would take 50 or 60 eggs out of one hole. They were perfectly round, white things, a trifle smaller than an English walnut. They had a famous fried egg feast that night and another on Friday morning. After breakfast, they went whooping and prancing out on the bar and chased each other round and round, shedding clothes as they went until they were naked, and then continued the frolic far away up the shoal water of the bar against the stiff current, which latter tripped their legs from under them from time to time and greatly increased the fun. And now and then they stood in a group and splashed water in each other's faces with their palms, gradually approaching each other with averted faces to avoid the straggling sprays, and finally gripping and struggling till the best man ducked his neighbor. And then they all went under in a tangle of white legs and arms, and came up blowing, spluttering, laughing, and gasping for breath at one and the same time. When they were well exhausted, they would run out and sprawl on the dry, hot sand, and lie there and cover themselves up with it, and by break for the water again and go through the original performance once more. Finally, it occurred to them that their naked skin represented flesh-colored tights very fairly. So they drew a ring in the sand and had a circus, with three clowns in it, for none would yield this proudest post to his neighbor. Next, they got their marbles and played Nux and Ring-Taw and Keeps till that amusement grew stale. Then Joe and Huck had another swim, but Tom would not venture, because he found that in kicking off his trousers, he had kicked his string of rattlesnake rattles off his ankle, and he wondered how he had escaped cramp so long without the protection of this mysterious charm. He did not venture again until he had found it, and by that time the other boys were tired and ready to rest. They gradually wandered apart, dropped into the dumps, and fell to gazing longingly across the wide river to where the village lay drowsing in the sun. Tom found himself writing Becky in the sand with his big toe. He scratched it out and was angry with himself for his weakness. But he wrote it again, nevertheless. He could not help it. He erased it once more, and then took himself out of temptation by driving the other boys together and then joining them. But Joe's spirits had gone down almost beyond resurrection. He was so homesick that he could hardly endure the misery of it. The tears lay very near the surface. Huck was melancholy, too. Tom was downhearted, but tried hard not to show it. He had a secret, which he was not ready to tell yet, but if this mutinous depression was not broken up soon, he would have to bring it out. He said with a great show of cheerfulness, "I'll bet there's been pirates on this island before, boys. We'll explore it again. They've hid treasure here somewhere. How'd you feel the light on a rotten chest full of gold and silver, hey?" But it roused only a faint enthusiasm, which faded out with no reply. Tom tried one or two other seductions, but they failed too. It was discouraging work. Joe sat poking up the sand with a stick and looking very gloomy. Finally, he said, "Oh, boys, let's give it up. I want to go home. It's so lonesome." "Oh, no, Joe, you'll feel better by and by," said Tom. "Just think of the fishing that's here."
"I don't care for the fishing. I want to go home."
"But, Joe, there ain't such another swimming place anywhere."
"Swim's no good. I don't seem to care for it somehow when there ain't anybody to say I shan't go in. I mean to go home."
"Oh, shucks, baby. You want to see your mother, I reckon.